This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Monday, it's noon, and that means Rex Ryan and the Rex Ryan Report. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care and Bud Light. Coach, what's going on? Hope you had a good Thanksgiving weekend, and what a weekend it was, football-wise.
Yeah, you know what? It's Monday, and it also means, besides the Rex Ryan Report, it means the Jets are still open.
We've reached that point, though, where it's like losing is winning. It's amazing. Losing is winning. And the people that have said, you know, this weekend they're playing the Dolphins, the Jets could steal this one. Sam's back. He's got all his weapons. No. Because that's when Adam Gase couldn't help himself and started making the play call to try to be a hero. Trying to save his job, I think. And I know it's delicate for you to talk about, but that's my opinion on what I saw this week.
Well, I just thought it was funny, too, because you know, yeah, the paper spun it. Hey, this is going to be Adam Gase has a chance now. He can prove to ownership that he's still the right guy for the job because Sam Darnold's got his weapons. He's got all this and this. Then you go out and you put up 3 points. Like, what? Like, come on, as if he's ever got a chance. It is gone. It's 100%. There's no question he's going to be gone at the end of the year. And as Jet fans, we couldn't be happier.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Bart had to do the post-game show, and he looked miserable as always after that game. But you see the light at the end of the tunnel, though, Bart, right? 5 weeks to go, and then maybe there'll be a fresh start, not just at coach, but perhaps even quarterback now.
I was afraid that they were going to mess around and win that game, especially when they moved down the field early on. I thought Fitz Magic was going to be Fitz Tragic, and when they started getting the turnovers, the fact that they couldn't convert turnovers to points, and Nick Castillo, who's been one of the best kickers, has his first miss. I knew that the guys were listening to us and that today was going to turn for us the right way that we need. Now, the crazy part is, and Rex, you know it because you know how clever that reporters are in New York. And the fact that Rich Samini, and you knew that they were going to do this, they were going to assign somebody to look at Daryl Loggins and keep an eye on him the entire game. And the fact that Adam Gase got told, maybe telling alternative facts to the fact that he said that, you know, it's been doing this all week. And, I mean, all year, Loggins gives it to him, and then he gives it to Sam. But then he says he takes over for third downs. But then 2 minutes, and they caught him in alternative facts. Like, was, I think, the nail in the coffin for him because he had no comeback for it. And Sam Darnold, I thought, you know, hurt himself and hurt his value a little bit yesterday, too. The fact that he couldn't look as good as Flacco did with the same weapons.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, it's funny. Like, don't lie. Like, there's no need to lie. And I'm going to tell you this. The Jet fan base deserves a hell of a lot better than that. Don't lie to us. We know you're garbage, but don't lie to us. And then the other thing is this. You know, Rich Samini is probably as well-respected, you know, of a journalist as there is around. And the New York media is the best. I mean, it really is the best. And you're going to try to, you know, pull one over on them? For what? For what reason? Like, for what reason? Just tell the truth.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look, I don't understand it. But you know what? It'll be good riddance. And there's going to be, I'm going to tell you this, there's going to be a lineup of cars waiting to help him get out of town when they leave. Hey, coach, we'll help you move. We'll help you move. And
I wanted to go.
He never once identified with this fan base. And good riddance. You're going to lie to us now? Give me a break.
That's a good point about the never really connected with the fan base, never really understood the job, kind of always just seemed to have, like, you know, like to be put off by anything he had to do media-wise or even when it comes to the fans. But, you know, I didn't want to go too deep into the Jets stuff with you, but because you brought that up, I got to ask you, because this has been said now about this job, and it actually is even being said about if they get the number one pick, would Trevor Lawrence want to play there? You've been through it. You've been through the best of times and the worst of times there. As the coach of the Jets, is this a job that someone with credibility, because you need that. You're going to need something now. You need a leader here. You need something. Is this a job that people would be afraid of? There's a lot of jobs going to be open in the league, and there are some of those, you know, next man up type candidates now that everybody's talking about. But there are people like, that's a toxic place, even with all the cap space, you know, the ownership issue there, because they always want to have a say in things, and the leadership structure there. You've been through it. Is this a job that people should hesitate to want to take?
The only way you would hesitate is if you're a phony. Then you don't want this job. If you're a real deal, you really do think you have the goods as a leader. Look, the Johnsons, I'm going to tell you this about Woody Johnson. All Woody Johnson wants to do is win. And Woody Johnson will give you the means necessary to do so. So it's a total crock. An owner has a right to do anything he wants. But Woody Johnson, I was here for 6 years. Not one time did he ever mingle in coaching business. Not one time. And so, to me, this ought to be a place that you would run to. If you're the real deal, you'd run to this job. You wouldn't avoid it. You would run to it. And that's what, hopefully, they get the right guy. And if they, you know, for some reason they hired Adam Gase, we know that wasn't the right dude. There's no question about it. So, you know, and this job is not for everybody. Okay, because you do have to have some thick skin. You do have to understand you have media responsibilities, and that these guys cover the Jets different than they cover other teams. All right, it's going to be probably 10-1 compared to other teams. And there's some people that can handle it, some people can't, and you have to know yourself. But the ownership should not be looked at as a negative. In fact, I would say it should be looked at as a positive.
Hey, Rex, I know you're not supposed to talk to a man, you know, when he already has a job, right? But, I mean, I'm being honest, because I might know more about Detroit and that ownership group and also that city and what it needs and what it takes to be successful there than any other place, including the Jets and the Ravens, because I lived there my entire life. Would you ever consider taking on that type of job in Detroit, understanding what you have to do as far as changing the culture and competing in that division, which is pretty much a tough division, you know, because Buddy, you know, coaching that division, won a Super Bowl in that division, your dad, you understand that division, or your family understands that division. Would you ever consider coaching at a place like Detroit, which is one of the hardest jobs to coach at because you haven't had the resources, the history over the years?
Yeah, I'll say this, Bart. As to be a head coach, I would never be afraid of any situation. I would walk to an opportunity to be a head coach for the Detroit Lions and or anybody else, because that's got to be your mentality. I'm going to do it, man. I'm different. I know I can do it. I know I can fix it. And what you need to do, though, is I think so important, and we're starting to see this. There has to be a partnership between all three forces, ownership, general manager, and head coach. There's got to be a partnership, and that's when it's going to work. If there's really no true partnership, that you're gonna hire this guy from left field, you're going to hire this guy from right field, it doesn't work. You can have a brilliant mind. This guy's a great offensive coach. Well, that's what they said about Adam Gase. Now we can't get a first down. So to me, it's, you know, yes, the guy has to have a football acumen. There's no question about that. Be a star in the league. It used to be where you had to be one of the best coordinators in the league to get opportunities. Now they're hiring a guy because he looks good in the media guide. That's not the wrong way to do it. You know, or the guy's a quarterback whisperer. He'll help our quarterback. That's not what you hire. You hire a leader, somebody that players can look up to and want to play for. That's important, especially in today's game. You know, and yeah, I would think the right candidate would jump at any opportunity to be a head coach. But you look at something that's been down, an organization that's been down, to have the opportunity to build it. Oh my God! Yeah, that would be an ideal situation.
We're talking with Rex Ryan, as we do each week at this time. Coach, let me ask you something about I'm going to cheat and tell you that I was watching Get Up this morning, and I heard your comments here, so I want to see if you want to echo them now on our show, and that is about what we're seeing in Tampa with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, and it's amazing how they seem to destroy bad teams, but good teams they struggle against. The only good team they've beaten is the Green Bay Packers. Other than that, they seem to struggle against really good teams, and he seems to be doing something that is out of character for him, and now it's a debate: does Tom not have enough tread left on the tire, or is this about the play calling? What's going on in Tampa? I know you have a strong take on Bruce Arians. What are you seeing in Tampa? Yeah.
Well, I do. I mean, first off, Tom Brady's not the same Tom Brady that we've seen for 20 years. I mean, he's 43 years old, for goodness sakes. But with that being said, if you let Tom Brady run his offense with these weapons, they could be special. And that's what ticks me off more than anything. And I think, here's the thing. Look, I've went against Bruce Arians for years, and I thought Bruce was a really good coach. Okay, I did. But the worst thing that happened to Bruce Arians is when he had that phrase, no risk it, no biscuit. Now, and it took off, and now he's wearing the hat, he's doing all this, look how charismatic he is, and all that. He forgot how to be a coach. Now he's playing to this. And that's the worst thing he could do. I mean, this team doesn't run the football. They run more dropbacks than any team in the league. They're throwing it all over the dang place. And let's face it, everybody said, well, Jameis Winston's a flop. He threw for 5,000 yards, but he's a flop because he turns it over through 30 interceptions. He was doing what was asked of him. Throw it up there and let's see what happens. We saw Carson Palmer late in his career. Throw it up there, let's see what happens. Well, it doesn't work, man. It doesn't work. And if you would just swallow your ego and your pride a little bit and let this man do his thing, that's what we all assumed. I certainly assumed that they were going to run Tom Brady's offense for 20-some years. Case in point, the Denver Broncos, when Peyton Manning went there, what did they do? They turned the whole thing. You had Gary Kubiak. You had all these guys there. Hell, you even had Adam Gase. He even overcame him. You had what he did. He ran the whole thing. And why? Because he's smart. He's seen it all. Well, that's the same thing with Tom Brady. I wish like heck that's what would happen. I'm going to ask you guys this question. If Josh McDaniels was calling the plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how explosive would this offense be?
It'd be ridiculous. Rex,
yeah,
they'd be, listen,
yeah, last all week, those weapons and the
last
protection
week, Rex,
he's been getting.
Right. Rex, last week I pretty much said the exact same thing that you said. Because remember, Bruce Arians got ran out of Pittsburgh, our division that we was in for a long time, because he would throw the ball too deep and he got Ben Roethlisberger killed. And the statistic was Ben Roethlisberger was sacked 215 times in 5 years under Bruce Arians. That's why they got him out of there, because they thought that the kid wouldn't last, that he would get killed. Because you can't continue to have seven-step drops. If you have seven-step drops, you better have the best offensive line. You better have the Hall of Fame offensive line, because no matter what, you're going to get hit. And what's the narrative on Tom Brady? Once he gets hit, he starts seeing ghosts, and he starts chucking and ducking, and he starts becoming inaccurate. So if you understand that about your quarterback, why wouldn't you be a version of Cleveland? When Cleveland has Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and it just forces it, and then you have to put that eighth man in the box, and Tom Brady's going to find the one-on-one coverage. This is pretty much about ego, the fact that he wants to win his way, and not all guys want to win. If the best way to win is to allow Tom Brady to be Tom Brady, you should modify your offense to what it is. But, ego.
Guys, let me ask you both this. Then why doesn't Brady, who's considered the greatest of all time, who's on the mantle, like this is a guy who's walking into the Hall of Fame, who everybody's going to consider the best who's ever done it. How does he not look at Bruce Arians and go, we're not doing this. We're doing it.
It's never been his character. He's always been the Tim Duncan, whatever you say, coach, I'll do. Remember what I said last time. Listen, Peyton Manning told the league, I ain't coming because Jets y'all suck. He came in, he said, listen, if you don't pick me, listen, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life if you take Ryan Leaf. He's a guy that, swap the looks and the fakes and the swag. Tom Brady is the humble, quiet, all shucks guy, right? Who in his head is a 6-round draft pick. Peyton Manning is the smooth, suave, funny one. He just don't look the part. Like, it should be face-off. It should be John Travolta and Nick Nolte. Face-off. The personalities don't match the faces. So Tom Brady has never been the one to come in and say, we're going to do this. He's always going to say, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And that's what he's doing. Sometimes we assume because people have greatness that they have that DNA to say, no, I ain't doing this. He's never been a guy that bucked the system. He's always been a guy that says, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. The boldest thing he's ever did was telling Bill no and leaving.
Right, and absolutely, because not only is the greatest quarterback that ever played our game, he's the greatest teammate. That's who he's always been. He's always taken less, all right, of personal wise for money so others can get more money for his team, and that would better his football team. That's who this guy is. He's a team-first guy all the way, and that's why you're right. It's not in his character to criticize coaching and all that. Now, he may very well do it behind closed doors. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's frustrated with it. But publicly, he would never do that.
Yeah, we've seen him light people up on the sidelines, but you're right. When he is publicly, when he's at the podium, though, he does have a much different demeanor. It's an amazing thing, though, what Bart just said. It's amazing to think of it that way. Like, it's basically like if Michael Jordan, you know, like, was the same way. And it's hard to believe, because when you get to that level where you know, where everybody's telling you you're the greatest, where you've done things, it's hard to imagine you still have that little man complex, even though you've become the biggest the game's ever seen. All right, Rick, so I got to ask you about another game, because I would think for you this is football porn, watching Derrick Henry run over people. Talk about ground and pound. Like, that had to have been for you, like, something where you'll watch that again and again and again. What a game that was. What a performance against the Colts team. Yes, they were missing some key pieces in that great defense of theirs, but still, what he did, it's an amazing game and a statement game for the Titans.
No, it is, and here's the scary thing, right? We saw this in the playoffs, and when they get in the playoffs, they ran rush out over the Baltimore Ravens to the tune over 200 yards. Like, we saw them do it to New England, you know, when they had the number one defense in the league. Like, this, we personally have witnessed it. When you can run the football like this, man, you could beat anybody, you know, and play defense. And that's the thing, because it sets it up. Ryan Tannehill, everybody could say what they want, but Ryan Tannehill was an average quarterback at best. But Derrick Henry makes Ryan Tannehill legit. Mm-hmm. All right? But it's Derrick Henry that's the guy. Like, you talk about a bell cow. He is absolutely phenomenal. Nobody should be that big, that fast, that strong, have that good of balance. And this guy has it all. But man, oh man, yeah, when I watch it, it's like, oh, just, and they just kept feeding it to him. And you just right. Gotta love it. And quite honestly, watch out. I'm telling you, watch out for that team.
Well, the only thing is their defense isn't as good as it was last year. But true. With Derrick Henry, you don't have to be that good. This is the thing. Like, he's like Brandon Jacobs, but he's able to sustain and have 20, 27 carries. Brandon Jacobs was only good and effective for 12 to 15. That's why they had to have three. And he was the starter and he was the finisher. He couldn't sustain it. And the thing is, right now, Rex, what we all understand is that the football season is a battle of attrition. And as everybody's getting weaker, he may be getting weaker too, but he's getting weaker at a smaller clip. So guys don't have the health to be able to stand in front of him for 27 carries. They can do it once or twice, but if you're not keeping them off the field by running the ball yourself, he's eventually going to wear you down. So to beat a team like the Titans, it's pretty much built how we were built when we had Sean Green and Thomas Jones. It continues right. Just to wear you down, and what do you see? We have those pictures of Cromartie saying ole to Sean Green coming through the middle in the fourth quarter, because you can be brave and bold when you're fresh, but those are body blows, and those body blows add up in the fourth and third and fourth quarter, where you're not just as happy to put your head and your neck out there knowing that you already have a stinger. So, I mean, I think they are dark horse. I think if Minnesota gets in there, they're dark horse as well, because, you know, Dalvin Cook is equally the part. Maybe not as big, but equally the part. But who would be your surprise team that you think no team would want to play if they got into the playoffs? Who's that one team that matches up well with everybody, but may not be that dominant team just at first glance?
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of good ones right there. I would go to the Cleveland Browns because they have a two-headed monster in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt with the same way, and get Myles Garrett back off of the COVID, and all of a sudden now that could be a team. But to play a quarterback is too inconsistent for me. But if they just had average play, like if Baker steps his game up just a little bit, this team could be a dark horse.
How about Buffalo?
I don't think they're a dark horse. I think everybody can. I look at them as one of the favorites.
Yeah, okay, you're looking at them as a favorite. Okay.
Absolutely.
You just don't hear a lot about them.
They ran for almost 200 yards yesterday against the Chargers, and it was an off day for Josh Allen. But look, Josh Allen is the man in the red zone. Of all the great quarterbacks, including Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen might be the number one red zone quarterback in the league. So that wins games for you. Their defense actually played a little better. It's starting to play better. So, yeah, that could be a dark horse.
Last thing for you, Rex, is I don't know if it's obvious or not, but this has been a season when you think about not just all the COVID stuff, but there usually are like one or two teams, like we were just talking about, like the Givens, like this is a Super Bowl contender. There's always like that two or three. Generally, the Patriots are in that conversation. But on the AFC side, you could see a couple of them, all right? One is undefeated. But on the NFC side, I don't see a team. I don't see a team that is that perfect that you could put your money on them and say, I'll see you in the Super Bowl. Because everybody has a flaw. Week, isn't that interesting?
No, it's a great point. And let's face it, last week, we were raving about the Rams being that team because they can play defense. They're a great defense. And their offense can move the football. And they just got beat by the 49ers. Again, that's twice. because they're missing like 13 guys or whatever it is. So, come on. It's you can't say Seattle because they don't play defense.
Right.
You got Green Bay is soft and run defense, so there's flaws. Every other team has flaws, even though they got some real positives, Seattle and Green Bay, certainly. But, man, look at the Saints. What's going to happen if Drew Brees doesn't come back? You're going to win a Super Bowl with Taysom Hill? So to me, it's wide open. I get exactly what you're saying because there is no dominant team where you can look at the AFC and you know right off jump you got two dominant teams already.
Exactly. Like teams that if I had to put money down, I'd be okay. But I can't in the NFC. Not a single team do I believe in. There's no question about it. And as you said, that changes week to week. So we'll look forward to what we get discussed next week and maybe even in the NFC East as the picture might get clearer with that game tonight. We'll see what happens with Philly. We'll see. I know you're laughing because we all are too. It's amazing to think that the Giants right now in 4-7 are in first place. Rex, thanks as always for your time. Great to talk to you. All the best. Talk to you next week.
All right. My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Rex a little extra spicy today, I thought. You saw the way he came out of the game. And I never like to lead locals or even Jets with him. But he went right at it. I didn't even get to ask him a question. And he already was like, let's talk about the Jets. And then he unloaded on that team.
He has an affinity for it. And he loved that Daniel Jones is his son. So, he's rooting. He has rooting interest in both New York teams. And he understands the fan base and how tortured they've been and how badly they want a championship. So he understands all that. So, he takes it a bit personal. You know what I mean? And
a bit?
What he said. what he said wasn't wrong, but.
No.
It is what it is. And, it's not good. But it could get better.
I still wonder. And I asked you, then I asked him. It's what is the attraction? When you've lost as much as this franchise has lost and you're starting to become associated with losing and hopelessness and a fan base that has been through everything and, it's New York, so you're dealing with the media aspect of it as well. You don't have your own building. All that stuff to me just factors in and it makes you wonder, are there players out there with all the money they have to spend that would say, I'm going there. You need to, whoever the next head coach is has to be somebody that everybody's like, all right, that's a great hire. And it gets people excited again because you need to make Trevor Lawrence say with and I know Joe Burrow went through this with Cincinnati, but still, you want Trevor Lawrence to not have any hesitation at all about whether or not he doesn't want to pull an Eli Manning. And you don't want free agents to say, I'm only going to sign there if you pay me twice as much as anybody else, because I don't want to go there and have my career just completely get lost.
Well, one, I think the market's going to be really, really suppressed, so that even if they do spend top of the market money is not going to be what it's traditionally been. And also, like, if you're a young coach and you go out and you're a coach, you have a ball of clay that you get to mold. You know, how often do we see guys come in and they have to inherit a quarterback? They got to inherit a roster that has a bunch of stars that you may not even like for your system that you got to try and make work because you got to pay them money. You started with C.J. Mosley. And that's it. That's the only person that paid. And Crowder. That's the only person that make money on this team. C.J. Mosley and Crowder. Everybody else can go. Fant can go. Like, you know, all three of the guys on the inside, they were basically one-year deals, can go. So you basically can bring, if you got guys from other teams that you feel are essential to being part of your team or part of your roster, if you're a current NFL coach, you can go get them. Because guess what? It ain't nobody that's there that's going to stop them or hold them from being able to win the spot. And then you
still
talk
a lot
about
of building
you talk,
to do.
It's a lot of building. It's a lot of building to do, but you got a left tackle and potentially a quarterback. Those are some hell of a building blocks. And you have a receiver. That's only three building blocks, I understand, but you got one at every spot that you need. And guess what? There's going to be plenty of running backs available, like Phillip Lindsay out in Denver, that if you want a little spicy nugget to go with P. Ryan to kind of be the guy, and you don't have to pay him a bunch of money, you can bring a guy like Phillip Lindsay in. You know that Joe Douglas has a relationship with Zach Ertz because he was with him in Philadelphia.
That's a huge
Philly
name.
Pam,
huge
right.
name.
And he's only 29 years old. Mm-hmm. But he's right at the right age where you want. I came here at 28.
But that's what makes a young quarterback, though. That's your security blanket.
Right. And so you have one on the outside. You have a security blanket with Zach Ertz. And you have money when there are going to be five. When do you ever hear five great receivers that's going to be available?
Yeah, you're right.
You got
somebody's got to take the money,
I
guess.
You got Chris Godwin, right? You got Galladay, you got Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster. Mm-hmm. Like, I forgot the other one that you had. You got Keenan Allen. So now you got your young receiver. Now you can go get your old receiver. Not your old receiver, but your receiver that's at that part where the mind and body meets is usually at 27, at 28, 29. You got those receivers out there. And then you have a crap load of picks for the next 2 years. What else do you want if you're a coach and they give you a 6-year contract and they say, hey, man, you got 3 years to turn it around? You starting off, you attaching your wagon to somebody, to a quarterback that's not been damaged, that hasn't been taught bad habits from another coach. You can teach him exactly the way. You can teach him exactly the way that you want him to. So it's perfect. It's a perfect scenario. You can go out and have everything that you want. And oh, by the way, you got a brand new facility that's less than a decade old to work in, that has every top of the line thing that you would want.
You're selling, baby. I'll give you credit. You're selling. Samini said this about Alex Lewis. There was some stuff going on with him. Speaking of different players on the Jets that are disgruntled. He was benched yesterday in what was called a non-injury team decision.
Who's that?
He talked to him. Rich said he talked to him and that he said there's no issue at all and asked if he expects to play this week. He said, I'm shooting for it. But Samini adds that it's still Alex Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently there was some issues, though, with him and Adam Gase,
good.
Though.
Nah, he's good. It's nothing to do with that.
No, that's been reported, that he and Gase had a little dust up.
He's good, man.
Okay, yeah, so you give us the insight there, so everything's all right there.
Yeah. I know more than what Rich knows.
I'm just all right, good. Well, that's what we need to get. You cleared it up for us.
It's nothing to do with, I don't think it's nothing to do with Gase. It's,
All right. Well, real quick here, let's do some audio files.
The audio file.
Okay, so let's begin speaking of Adam Gase and any issues. And I mentioned this earlier, but let's hear it from him. Sam Darnold, after the game, in a game where he did not perform well coming back from injury, the offense did not perform well at all with only 3 points. And then the media basically saw that Adam Gase had taken over play calling, even though he tried to deny it at first. But Sam afterwards said that he has faith in his coach.
I'm super confident in Adam, and the way he coaches us players got to be better. And me personally, I got to play better.
So, Barty, you said they have the same agent, so he's got to say the right things, but the kid just keeps putting it on himself, which I think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But if I'm the coach,
yeah,
you can't keep, you're making this guy look bad. You're making him look like a bad quarterback, and you're not doing him any favors.
And yeah, what Sam needs to realize, if he keeps putting it on himself, it's going to be written in his yep. obituary about why he's no longer the Jets quarterback, because he's self-reported. So you better find somebody else to start blaming outside of himself, or figure it out, or it's going to be his last. It's going to be his last words.
All right. Meanwhile, we're still waiting to hear the MRI results on Daniel Jones's hamstring, and for the Giants, who have won three in a row and now sit in first place in the division, which is hard to believe, but it is true. Still, they've got a tough row now ahead at Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, and at Baltimore over the next 4 weeks. Logan Ryan said, well, if Daniel Jones is not available, the defense is ready.
Daniel goes out with, you know, midway through the third quarter. Do you guys look around on defense and say, you know, it's up to us to kind of hold on to this now?
We always feel like it's up to us. It didn't matter. I mean, I wish the best for Daniel. I hope it all comes back clean. But defensively, good defenses travel. We got to pack it up on the road and set the tone. It doesn't matter what the offense is doing. We got to get it done on defense. And a lot of us are on defense on that. A lot of us are on kickoff, on that kickoff return. A lot of defensive players are on there. So that's on us to make it up. And we're just trying to hunt the ball, play good defense. We're able to get it out in the second half and really hold on to that one.
The offense could be very limited if Colt McCoy ends up being the starter. They don't really have a backup. They'll have to go out and find somebody to be their backup quarterback, because they just have a practice squad guy, and that's about it. So if Daniel Jones is not available, the Giants are going to have to figure out their quarterback situation and also probably be a lot more conservative with their offense in this very difficult now stretch of games for them. All right, so everybody's talked about this. What happened with the Denver Broncos yesterday, which is, we've never seen something like this in the NFL. Yeah, so their three eligible quarterbacks is Drew Lock, Brett Rippon, and Blake Bortles. All of them were considered high-risk COVID-19 because of close contact with... Who was it? One of their players who had COVID. So they couldn't play. We're not available. They've tried everything. So instead, the league wouldn't let them do anything. They wouldn't let them have a practice, a coach sign. They couldn't do anything. So they had to go with Kendall Hinton, who's a practice squad receiver, and they made him the starting quarterback, which he hadn't done since college. So he had to do it. But Philip Lindsay actually took the opening snap of the game. The running back went straight wildcat. It was ugly. They had more interceptions than they did completions. In fact, they only had one completion. And it was just an embarrassing game. It was an absolute blow. They just hand the game to the Saints. And afterwards, Vic Fangio, not happy, but not about the league as much as his quarterbacks and how they handled or didn't handle the COVID protocols.
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position. Our quarterbacks put the league in that position. We count on them to be the leaders of the team and, you know, leaders of the offense, and those guys made a mistake, and that is disappointing. Obviously, I haven't done a good enough job of selling the protocols to them, you know, when they're on their own. So, you know, part of that could fall on me there.
What do you think there, Bart? I mean, it's, you know, some players aren't taking it as serious. You see the league is fining teams and you know, even taking draft picks away. But this is something where if you're a player... The league, I mean, we're starting to see it become an impact. It's impacting teams. The Ravens haven't practiced since last week. They're supposed to play Tuesday night against the Steelers. And they haven't even practiced yet because of this.
And they just had another person.
Yep.
Test positive, I think.
Yeah, Willie today's Sneed. Practice was canceled again.
Yeah, Willie Snead. So, I mean... I think that, you know, even though that they want to say that they were negligent, and even, you know, with the Ravens, if it was the strength coach was negligent, I think the players, it's weird because in the Ravens, it wasn't the players, it was an administrator or a coach. And the Broncos, it sounds like it was a player, so because it was the players, they didn't give the team a pass. But they gave the Ravens a pass. They should have just added a week 18, because I think it's going to be more teams that aren't going to be able to play. So by the time we get to week 18, I think you'll be able to have at least 10 teams that needs to play a makeup game. You know, and you don't want you don't want playoff seeding and stuff to be determined with an unfair advantage unless somebody was super negligent.
It's going to be.
Like we saw with the Raiders and when they had people at an event and they didn't have masks on and they had an event with people that was from the team and wasn't from the team. I don't know how this Raven thing is going to even work out, man. It's
Do you think we're going to see Monday night, Tuesday night football, or do you think no?
I don't know how, because if people keep testing positive, how do you know that the person that he was with didn't test positive? So Willie Snead was around. We got to do contact tracing for who Willie Snead was around. At what point do we figure out where it stops? We saw this happen with the Tennessee Titans early in the year, and it just continued to go and go and go, and it ended up touching like a four for their squad.
Look, if there is no Tuesday night, this is, again, the example of the league. This is, you know, some people are wondering, can the NFL even finish the season?
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's try to make some money. I had a split this week. Tough one. You know, if you're over 500, though, I would think it's kind of like, I trust somebody who's under 500. Bart's over 500, so I don't trust him. Let's put our team together tonight. So just so you know, Seahawks, Eagles. Seahawks are laying 6.5. The over-under is 48.5, last I checked, ESPN Daily Lines. And, of course, a lot of questions with Jalen Hurts taking snaps with the starters this week, or at least reportedly, that perhaps there could be a change in the game, and that could have an impact. And, in fact, as we were putting our daily fantasy team together, Anthony decided, well, let's throw Jalen Hurts in there.
Really?
Yeah, why not? Just throw him in there. Let's take a shot.
Bit of misery. Dilly dilly.
Yeah, J-Dub's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Because if he doesn't play at all, that's a zero. We can't afford that. So instead, we'll go Russell Wilson as our MVP. DK Metcalf as well. Dallas Goedert. Miles Sanders. And Will Disley. And there you go. That's our team. Kind of like this one. So we go forward with that. Oh, yeah. Anthony's going to play both because he wants to prove himself.
Right. Prove that he's right.
He wants to prove he's right. So, Bart, with just about 2.5 minutes to go here, as you mentioned, Ravens Steelers tomorrow. The Shefty's saying that another canceled practice for the Ravens. There could be snow in the forecast in Pittsburgh as well Tuesday morning for them to travel there. So, I mean, it's just almost like, you know, the football gods are like, yeah, we're not going to play this game. So
exactly. Like, just push it to week 18, man. Let them play on Thursday against the Cowboys. Uh-huh. Move that game back. And then, you know, you can do something different. Move it to week 18. Like, sometimes the NFL thinks that, you know, nature and pandemics are supposed to perform around their schedule. It don't work that way.
Speaking of the pandemic, this came out early this morning. CNBC had it first, and now other networks have picked it up. So Moderna has a vaccine showing 100% effectiveness.
I thought it had to be at least 98%.
Well, against severe COVID. Severe. It's still about 94% overall.
Okay.
But they are asking now the FDA for emergency clearance, and they are hoping to get this thing rocking. That's basically a third one now. So.
Yeah, I mean, the more you have, the more distribution we can get. So that'd be perfect.
So hopefully, again, as we keep waiting the light at the end of the tunnel here and the return to normalcy.
We still ain't figured out who's the president, man. So we're still dealing with that. We got to figure out the logistics of how to get it distributed. Like, it's great to have three, but if we can't get them to people, then, you know, what's going on? What the hell's going on?
I can't even start making jokes about that one either. I could easily just start going into the voice, but I won't do it because I don't want to upset people.
We better wrap it up.
Yeah, I understand we got to wrap it up. So we have football right now. The only thing happening, but Bart, guess what? Tomorrow,
what's tomorrow? Jay Wiggy?
NBA training camp start happening.
Yeah.
Now there's some protocols.
Obi-Wan.
There's some protocols. You're not going to get full 5-on-5 action yet. You still got to, because they have to keep the numbers limited until everybody clears a bit of the quarantine and everything else. So, but at least the ball will be bouncing again in the gym where it has a Knicks logo, because the Knicks haven't played basketball in months.
But this is the thing. Much like the COVID testing, mm-hmm. does some of these teams go out and buy the vaccine themselves to get it first? I know it's unfair, but
the NBA is going
to go out
figure,
and spend money to go get it. It's that way the league can go and they won't have to worry about it because everybody's vaccinated.
Look, watching what the NFL's going through, the NBA certainly wants to be able to play through the season. All right, Bart, great job.
Fans,
see you tomorrow.
That means fans. Ahala!
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.